Hi, I'm Reverend Hardin. This is Proof of Life. Follow us on all your favorite podcast platforms. Like, comment, and share. And really appreciate your watching. What if I told you that Biden is attempting to buy 100 million female votes by sending them a $1 chocolate bar? Biden bars. Sounds ridiculous. But the reality is a little stranger. He promised in the State of the Union that he would send some money to the National Institutes of Health, basically. And so I think yesterday, the day before, he signed an executive order earmarking $200 million for the National Institutes of Health to research women's health issues, concerns over increased risks of cancers, as well as heart disease, etc. And half of this money, $100 million, is going to a newly formed organization with the acronym ARPA-H. So ARPA-H is the Advanced Research Projects Agency for Health. It's a funding agency that supports transformative, this is what they say, transformative biomedical and health breakthroughs ranging from the molecular to the societal to provide health solutions for all. This sounds eerily like the government identifying health population blocks and identifying health objectives by population block. It's population medicine. It's not medicine that benefits the person. It's medicine that benefits the objectives of a governmental political narrative. That's socialized medicine. That's exactly what that is. But this is the same administration that, interestingly enough, is promoting O-pill, chemical abortion, and surgical abortion. And yet, in the executive order to research, women's health concerns like increased rates of cancer, breast cancer, and ovarian cancer, risk of a heart attack and stroke, etc., they're ignoring the data that shows that, if you look at all the five major cancers in the United States relative to understanding the burden of disease on our population. The cancers include things like lung cancer and colon cancer and, the common cancers. And also includes breast cancer. Now, not too long ago, someone did a meta-analysis on all these cancers. So we're taking a look at all these various cancers. And of all these five cancers, four of them went down except for one. But overall, the burden of disease relative to the five major cancers in America went up. But if four of them went down, and that means that the one that went up so much, it drove the average of all of them up. So the question then becomes, what is that one cancer that was driving the average burden of disease on this population relative to cancer up? Guess which one it was? Breast cancer. Okay, breast cancer has been skyrocketing in younger women. Triple negative breast cancer in women, in their childbearing years, 30s and 40s and 50s. Very dangerous cancer. Generally speaking, breast cancer in women, according to the data, it usually happens. I mean, typically later in life, in the 60s and 70s, and it's really not that lethal. It can be treated. And so when you look at this triple negative breast cancer that's happening in women ages, in their 30s and 40s, it's extremely lethal, very dangerous. And what's it correlated with? And everybody's saying, we've got to research this. We've got to research this. American Cancer Society, Breast Cancer Institute, blah, blah, blah. Komen Foundation. We got to research why this is happening to women. Well, they refuse to recognize the connection and the obvious correlation between abortion and breast cancer. Studies the world over have demonstrated a correlation to a woman who has an abortion and an increased risk of breast cancer. a more recent study came out a couple of years ago that says that demonstrated that there was a dose effect, so that the more abortions a woman has, the higher her risk of breast cancer goes. And it's a very simple biological reason. We know this. When a woman gets pregnant and she has a healthy pregnancy, breast cell replication occurs. Now, I know I'm getting into the weeds here, but breast cell replication occurs. And breast cell those new breast cells are not differentiated. They don't have a job yet until like the last month of pregnancy and beyond. And they don't get a job. They don't differentiate themselves until then. Okay. So now they're just kind of breast cells in limbo without a particular job, which means that they're more susceptible to carcinogens. Okay. So if you have an abortion and you cut off the breast cell replication process, now you've got all these undifferentiated breast cells floating in limbo, susceptible to carcinogens. It just makes perfect sense that these breast cells would become carcinogenic, or that they would have cancer developing in these areas. So, why is, you know, it just seems ridiculous. It's like you set aside $100 million, $200 million or whatever, and you say, look, we're really interested in women's health, but you're putting the burden of disease on them. It's like you're taking a car that's got a problem to a mechanic, and you're saying, hey, fix this problem. I got engine problems or transmission problems or whatever. It just doesn't go down the road properly. And he says, okay. And then the mechanic says, I'm going to take this car to the car wash, make it all nice, make it look great, and then send it right back to the owner and tell the owner it's fixed. Yeah, but it still goes down the road weird. I mean, it's not right. The engine's knocking and the transmission is clicking and all sorts of stuff, and it's just not. Well, that's what's happening right now with this Biden administration. And by the way, interestingly enough, he's doing this during an election year. He didn't do it in his first, his first year in office. He's doing it on an election cycle, 2024 election cycle. He's buying votes. I think it would be more valuable to women, quite frankly, to take that $200 million and buy 200. Hershey Kisses, 200 million Hershey Kisses, and send them to women. I mean, it would benefit them more in terms of their health. Certainly, it's definitely better soul food than, sending this money to politically motivated and charged, fake, I don't know, research. I should research. I'm using that in air quotes. It's not research. We're forcing women to think that they need to use hormonal contraception, like the O-pill, which is now, by the way, over the counter this month. I think I told you this before, but the O-pill was approved by the FDA expert advisory panel in July to be sold over the counter to anybody that has $20. The O-pill is part of a hormonal contraception regimen that the World Health Organization has listed as a group 1 carcinogen. Okay? Up there with plutonium. And we're selling this for $20 over the counter to girls. And we scratch our head and wonder, why are the cancer rates going up and the, breast cancer is going up and cervical cancer is going up and liver cancer is going up and, brain cancer and stroke and heart attack. We just can't figure it out. I think they know. You got O-pill being sold, and this expert advisory panel that said, "Oh yeah, this is a great idea. We should sell these carcinogenic pills to girls over the counter next to Tylenol, because they might take chemical abortion off the market," which, by the way, is a tacit recognition that abortion is being used as birth control in this country. Nobody likes that, by the way. But this expert advisory panel was stacked with abortion activists, ignoring the data, ignoring the science that chemical abortion is bad for women, and we have no idea. There have been no toxicology studies, no reproductive health toxicology studies that I'm aware of that have been done on girls who have developing reproductive systems. We have no idea what this is doing to them, aside from, probably giving them cancer. and infertility. We have no idea. And this is good. This is science. This is the FDA. This is the Biden administration FDA. And what does chemical abortion do? I mean, we're insisting that chemical abortion is safer than Tylenol by the FDA is allowing this to be sold, through Walgreens and CVS, and I believe now Rite Aid's in on it. Meanwhile, a week from today, the United States Supreme Court, is hearing oral arguments to take the drug off the market because it's just so dangerous. It causes sepsis and hemorrhaging and pelvic inflammatory disease, and which causes internal scarring and future ectopic pregnancies, which cause death. And yet the chemical abortion industry is saying it's safer than Tylenol. And they've been pushing this since COVID, by the way, to send these drugs to women in the mail. And saying, if you take these drugs and you have a negative or adverse reaction, go to your emergency room and tell them you're miscarrying. And now we're having miscarriage inflation all throughout the emergency rooms throughout America. And so Biden comes along and says, well, we're really interested in women's health. We're really interested in figuring this stuff out. No, they're not. We already know. They don't want women to know that they are being used. This burden is being placed on them. It reminds me of this time when Jesus in Matthew 23 was lambasting the religious and governmental leaders of his day. And this, he said prior to him being crucified by those same people. So anyway, I'm going to say it. Okay. I'm just going to say what Jesus said. He said, referring to these religious and moral leaders, as well as the governmental leaders, they tie up heavy burdens. Matthew 23, they tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders. By men's, he's using the general term for mankind, people's shoulders. And they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men. Look, we're laying tremendous burdens on women. We are destroying women's health. Not just their reproductive health. We are destroying women's health through hormonal contraception. By the way, hormonal contraception is abortifacient. It creates an inhospitable uterine environment so that the embryo that's been created with the meeting of the sperm and the egg in the fallopian tube can't implant in the uterus. Okay? That's a lot. And I understand a lot of people, a lot of Christians even, who are pro-life, take these hormonal contraceptive drugs. It's bad for you in every way. It's bad for your child in every way, and it does create an environment that could destroy an embryo, a baby. So I know that your doctors aren't telling you this, but just do your research. If you've made these decisions unknowingly, unwittingly, there's all kinds of secret sins that we don't even know we commit. And if we have failed each other, including our preborn boys and girls, in terms of fellowship and love, we should repent. That's the nature of the grace of the gospel. It's not okay for us to sin against one another, even unknowingly. And so God says, repent. That's why Jesus came, to give us freedom from our sins. God made man upright, Proverbs says. But we have sought out many devices, and we could say we have sought out many drugs. So let's have a posture to the Lord of repentance. Let's have a posture to the Lord of humility. Let's have a posture towards one another of humility and say, I'm sorry if I have offended. Our first offense is to God. And if we're in right relationship with the Lord, we want to be in right relationship with each other. And so we're tying up these heavy burdens on women, asking them to engage in hormonal contraceptives, which is damages their current and future health, as well as the reproductive health. We're causing women to think that it's a right and it's perfectly safe to have abortions when it's not. Abortions cause breast cancer, 42% increased risk of breast cancer for one abortion, and there's a dose effect from there. The more abortions you have, the higher your risk of breast cancer. Same thing with future preterm deliveries. Abortion causes or is correlated with future preterm deliveries. I mean, just look at the Black community. The Black community represents 14% of the American population, and yet they bear 40% of the abortion load, okay? Now look at the morbidity and mortality rates of maternity in the Black community. They are through the roof, and we don't know why. We don't know why. We don't. Let's ask the March of Dimes. I think they probably know why. Maybe they're not willing to say it because it's just too political. Well, if we're really concerned about the health and welfare of women, we shouldn't care about the politics, right? We should have been doing this long ago. We should have been saying, hey, wait a second, abortion's bad. I mean, it's not good to stop a healthy pregnancy midway, because that's not what the body's designed to do. And what the politicians are doing is they're insisting that these research projects conflate the data of miscarriage and the data of abortion, women who miscarry and women who abort. And the conflation of that data, reduces the clarity that we get relative to the effects of abortion. Because when a woman naturally miscarries, her progesterone and estrogen rates are not to the extent where they're driving, like, for example, breast cell replication. And so the progesterone and estrogen, is at the level where it can't sustain a pregnancy naturally. Progesterone, progestational hormone, is not high enough, which is one of the reasons why women with chronic miscarriage problems receive progesterone therapy. They boost they get help boosting their progesterone through the first trimester until her body can start producing the levels that she needs to sustain the pregnancy on her own. The reason why women have trouble sustaining pregnancies full term after having had abortions is because when a woman has an abortion, especially later term surgical abortions, or surgical abortion period, is that when you instrument the cervix, it creates what's called cervical incompetence. And I know I'm getting to the weeds here again, but people need to know this. Cervical incompetence was where the cervix can no longer have the ability to retain the baby as long as the baby needs to stay in the womb for proper development. And so preterm, the baby's born early. This is what happens. Abortion causes all kinds of problems with mortality of children, with morbidity of children. If they're born early, the earlier a child's born, the more problems they have throughout their life. And so, of course, abortion does create a demand for infertility treatments, IVF, for example. And IVF carries a whole nother basket of ethical questions and problems and dilemmas that I've been trying to raise awareness about over the last many weeks, because the Alabama Supreme Court ruled back in February in favor of two couples whose embryos were destroyed accidentally by a fertility clinic down there in Mobile. and the justices, 8-1, said a child is a child for the purposes of Alabama's Wrongful Death of a Child Act. And it's true. A child is a child. The moment of fertilization. And we as a country, as a nation, as a people, need to start remembering that children are not products to be created and purchased. Children, and if you're going to use third-party reproductive technology like IVF to create embryos, every single one of those embryos is a human being that needs protection under the law, needs care. And the IVF process intentionally destroys embryos, intentionally, not accidentally. Now, accidentally, of course, they do die in the process of IVF, in the freezing process, as well as in the implantation process in the uterus. Not all of them make it. But the IVF process does intentionally destroy human embryos at the initial creation. They call it culling. They have some sort of weird dystopian kind of set of criteria that identifies the fitness of these children for life. And the ones that don't meet that criteria are destroyed or sent to elsewhere. I don't know. The second place where they're destroyed intentionally is through reduction. If you've got like several embryos that are implanted in a mother's uterus to see how many would take, there might be several that take, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They actually implant in the mother's uterus. Now all of a sudden there's too many. Mother's not going to be able to sustain all of them. And so they're going to have to go through reduction, which is what we now commonly understand as abortion. So, you know, you've got Jesus saying these things to, you know, to the leaders of the day. And I think that this is what the Biden administration is doing with this $200 million. I think he's just buying votes. I think it would be better if he just bought chocolate. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you devour widows' houses and for a pretense you make long prayers. I mean, you know, here's Biden. He goes on, talks about his $200 million thing to the executive orders, sending all this money to the National Institutes of Health. And he's at this press conference, you know, look at me, isn't this great? This is what I'm doing for you women. All of a sudden, I'm really pro-woman. And, you know, women are making great strides. You know, look, there's Kamala Harris behind me. She's a vice president. Isn't that great? It's so condescending, if you ask me. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You travel around on sea and land to make up one proselyte, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. And I believe that's what's happened with people like New York Governor Kathy Hochul. She's not just politically pro-abortion. She is vehemently pro-abortion. She's a zealot. And same thing with Letitia James. Here's a black woman who is a New York State Attorney General, and she is vehemently pro-abortion, and she doesn't understand that abortion is destroying the black community, of which she is a member, destroying the black community. If all the black babies that have ever been aborted since 1973 were alive today, the black community would be twice as large as it is right now, 30. Yeah, it would be twice as large. It would represent 30% of all of American population. And that's just saying the babies that were aborted. That's not to say the family and the children they would have had subsequent to that. So anyway, Jesus goes on. You who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. You know, look at us. Isn't this great? We're really interested in helping women. We really care about women. All of a sudden, we just love women. They don't. They are sacrificing women and children on the altar of political power. If they were really interested in protecting women and saving lives, and understanding the nature of what's causing all these cancers and strokes and heart disease, et cetera, in women, they would look at the obvious. But instead, they turn a blind eye. Blind guides leading the blind. They turn a blind eye to the obvious. Chemical abortion, hormonal contraception, which is not truly hormonal. It's a misnomer. It's steroidal contraception. They turn a blind eye to all this stuff, and they throw women on this altar of political power, and they keep insisting that it's about their rights, it's about women's rights, it's about reproductive health, it's about medical care, it's about access to health care. It's not. It's just a lie. The data is out there the world over, and all we have to do is look it up. There we are. There you have it. This is what's going on in America today. This is what the Biden administration is doing to women. Oh, and by the way, interestingly enough, abortion, more recent statistic came out, a report came out from the Guttmacher Institute. This was an institute, one of the founders, a previous president of Planned Parenthood named Guttmacher. They established, in his name, established a research group. That's pro-abortion research group. But they identified a more recent report that said that abortion is up. I said this was going to happen. People kept saying, oh, you know, when Roe versus Wade is overturned, abortion is going to go away. I said when in 2018, 2019, Roe versus Wade was probably going to be overturned, and it may end up being the worst thing that ever happened to the pro-life movement. This is overturning Roe versus Wade was not the end of abortion. Overturning Roe versus Wade was simply the end of the beginning of abortion. Abortion numbers are up 10% in 2023, the year after Roe versus Wade was overturned, the year after all these restrictions were implemented across many states. Why? Abortion tourism. Why chemical abortion? And by the way, chemical abortion is up, now represents 63% of all abortions in America. Chemical abortion now represents 63% of all abortions in America. And it's up 20%, 10 percentage points, okay? This is a massive problem because what abortion, chemical abortion represents is illicit chemical abortion drug trafficking. Virtually every instance of chemical abortion in America is illegal and a violation of the Comstock Act, requiring a $250,000 fine and 5 years in jail for the first crime. It's $250,000 of fines for every instance thereafter and 10 years in jail. And this is happening to the tune of 600,000 times a year in America, a violation of the Comstock Act. And anybody who participates in it or attempts to get around this law, intentionally attempts to circumvent this law, like Kathy Hochul, New York governor, like Letitia James, New York attorney general, like Eric Adams, New York City mayor, they are all intentionally attempting to circumvent this law and protect abortionists from liability. They're not interested in protecting women from malpractice. They're not interested in that. No, they're interested in stockpiling these drugs because Eric Adams bought, I think, 250,000 doses of mifepristone just in case, you know, it's taken off the market. And he's already committed to giving these drugs away to women coming in from out of state. And now they're considering not even talking about, you know, asking women what their age is. They're not asking women where they're coming from. They want to make it illegal they've already made it illegal for a New York doctor to participate in any kind of criminal investigation relative to women who are getting abortions. That, what are they doing? They're not protecting women here. They're protecting abusers, rapists, sex traffic handlers. New York City is a hive, a hub of sex trafficking. And the glove that covers the fingerprints of the sex trafficking crime syndicates is the abortion industry. Which abortionist was doing the abortions for the Jeffrey Epstein sex crime syndicate in New York City? I keep asking that question. Nobody seems to care. What is going on with us in America? There's a verse at the end of Judges when everybody's doing what is right in their own eyes before the king started in the book in Israel. I'm going to read this to you. There were two or three chapters at the end of the book of Judges where it demonstrates the evil that's going on and how women are being destroyed. And one particular woman was absolutely destroyed. Literally, she was trafficked. Literally trafficked. Okay, this is the situation. And it was a thing like this had never been seen, never been done before, and it's awful. And apparently, it was being done all the time during the tribe of Benjamin during this time. And so, this man's wife was destroyed, and he calls all of Israel together, and he tells them the story, and he says, "Consider it, take counsel, and speak up. Consider it, take counsel, and speak up." We've got to tell people what's happening in America. This is a destruction of women. And here you've got Biden saying, "Oh, I'm going to give you $200 million so you can keep voting for me." He is complicit in the destruction of women in this country. We are trafficking in women. We are trafficking in human lives through abortion, through IVF, through sex trafficking itself. This is we have to speak up. There was a statement that was made by we don't know if it was made by Martin Luther, one of the reformers, and a friend of mine reminded me of this. My pastor reminded me of this just yesterday or the day before, and I'd like to read it to you because I think it's an important statement that we should all consider. To those that are Christians in America, God gives us a moral obligation. We are obligated to our fellow. We are radically responsible for the person beaten and left for dead on the dangerous Jericho Road of culture in America. And here's what Martin Luther, the reformer, was credited as saying. "If I profess with the loudest voice and clearest exposition every portion of the truth of God, except precisely that little point which the world and the devil are at the moment attacking. I am not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing Christianity. Where the battle rages, the loyalty of the soldier is proved. And to be steady on all the battlefield besides is mere flight and disgrace to him if he flinches at that one point. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in a moral Wild West. Western civilization has regressed into a moral, ethical chaos. There is no common understanding of what it means to be human under God. There is no common set of core values to which we all agree, except for one, by the way. In politics, there is one core value to which both Republicans and Democrats adhere, and it is called autonomy. It is called absolute personal autonomy. Individualism is the religion of America. Materialism is its expression. I should be able to do whatever I want to do. Government should not be in my way. I should have access to whatever I want. Whether I want to marry somebody in my own sex, which is an undermining of social stability, because marriage is the basic unit of all civilized order, or whether it's, you know, I want to be able to smoke whatever I want to smoke. I want to be able to, whatever. The idea is you absolute individual autonomy is the mantra of the day, and it's not sustainable. To assume that you can arrive at some form of civilized order under the concept of individual autonomy is insanity. Political unity around autonomy is ridiculous. It's absurd. Because someone's got to arbitrate between competing appetites. When I insist on my appetites and my desires, and they compete with your appetites and your desires, someone has to arbitrate between that. And so that becomes the government. And the government gets to decide which moral standard is the one we should all adhere to. And so if that conflicts with the Judeo-Christian standard upon which a free constitutional law is built, then you're talking about re-engineering society. And let me just close with this. We are re-engineering society. And a free constitutional rule of law, according to John Adams, is only fit for a religious and moral people, wholly unfit for any other. Because it requires self-regulation. But when you socially re-engineer society, you have to destroy any relationship that takes precedent over government. And if the individual becomes the basic unit of society, and the individual's primary core value is autonomy, then the government becomes the primary relationship. One's primary relationship is with the government. And so in order to re-engineer society, you have to destroy or undermine all other relationships that take precedent. And there are three. There are three relationships that take precedent over one's relationship with the government. And this will never change for a Christian, by the way. That's one of the reasons why secular governments hate Christians. The first relationship that takes precedent over government is one's relationship with God. God is the standard. God has revealed himself in Scripture. And so we have an ultimate authority by which we can filter our understanding of how the world is working around us and what government is doing and what justice is. And so now we can actually take a look at, say, laws that are passed, you know, at the federal or state level and say, that's an unjust law. And so Christians stand up and say, you can't do that. That's wrong. Like John the Baptist would say, hey, Herod, you can't have your brother's wife. That's wrong. Okay. The second relationship is one's relationship with one's spouse. And so if you undermine marriage, if you undermine the purpose of marriage, the value of marriage, one's understanding of what marriage actually is as the basic unit of civilized order, then you create, you know, hyper-individualism, even in terms of marriage itself. Marriage becomes an institution for the self-gratification of the individuals involved. And so when the relationship begins to make me feel uncomfortable, then I'm out, and divorce is rampant. And that's what we see. Marriage is really not about, is not really child-centric anymore. It's adult-centric. It's an adult institution for the gratification of adults and their appetites. And that's bad. The Supreme Court basically said as much with the Obergefell case, legalizing same-sex marriage illegally. By the way, that was a ridiculous decision. It was a legislation from the bench. But the third relationship that is being undermined is one's relationship with the children, God, spouse, children, And so, you know, with abortion and IVF and same-sex marriage and transgenderism, it makes it very difficult for people to have relationships, long-term relationships with the opposite sex, marriage, etc. But it also makes it very difficult for people to have children and even to want children, because as individuals who believe that autonomy is key, then they make decisions about their life based on how much pleasure or pain it gives them. And they want to maximize their physical pleasure while minimizing their pain. And so having children, they'll have one or two if they see it as self-actualizing. They always wanted to have a child. It's good for them. It's part of their goal in life. Not in terms of it's good for us to be married and have children and raise the next generation of healthy citizen. And so what's happening all across America right now is the destruction of those three primary relationships, undermining those three primary relationships that take precedent over government, and thereby giving government more power over the population. So that's where we are. I think people need to be concerned. I think we need, as I said before, as the Bible says in the book of Judges, consider it, take counsel, and speak up. Now, Compass Care is giving people an opportunity to take counsel together and to consider it and to speak up through the Walk for Life. You can go to 2x.life to look and see how you can raise awareness in your community by hosting a walk, even becoming a walker. Because as a walker, you can be a pledge raising walker and raise money to help women have their babies. That's what Compass Care does. Compass Care serves women through telecare before the teleabortionist sends these dangerous drugs in the mail illegally. Compass Care is trying to double the number of patients we see in the abortion capital of the United States. New York State is the abortion capital of the United States. More abortions here per capita than anywhere else in the country. Brooklyn, Kings County, has more abortions than any other county in America. Compass Care's medical office in Brooklyn is the only pro-life medical office in the county. We have a huge opportunity in front of us, and so we've got opportunities as through the Walk for Life to speak up, to take counsel, to consider these things together, and to reach and serve women, and truly protect them from the cancer causing, reproductive destroying, and life altering abortion decisions, as well as the chemical steroidal contraception that's being foisted upon them. And here they are, you know, the Biden administration attempting to gain votes from women who don't know what's actually happening. So this has been Proof of Life. I'm your host, Reverend Jim Harden. Like, comment, share. If you are, if you've got disgruntled feelings about what I just shared with you, feel free to send them in writing in crayon to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Suite LGBTQ.